today. It's close to Christmas, and this is that time when you start hearing the sermons that all point to the Christmas passages, and sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's not so easy. But we are going to be in Luke chapter 1, so if you want to turn there. This is going to talk about John the Baptist and his birth and his father and his mother, and we're going to look at people in this passage today. And it's probably not what I would call my traditional leading up to Christmas passage, though it is that passage. It's not going to be that sermon. And so we are going to look at this passage that I believe fulfills. If you go back to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, it talks about this voice of one calling in the wilderness that's going to prepare the way of the Lord. And this is one of those passages, I believe, that partially fulfills that with John the Baptist. But there's also going to be Elijah coming prior to Christ coming back to set up his kingdom as well. And so it's fulfilled again then. But right before this passage, or around this time, there's like 400 years that they call the silent years, that after the prophets, there was 400 years of basically silence of where God didn't specifically speak through a prophet or somebody. There was like 400 years that they call the silent years. And so God begins to break His silence with this passage today. And we're going to go into that. We're going to start in verse 5. So if you'd read along with me. It says, "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the division of Abijah, his wife of the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as a priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and make ready a people prepared for the Lord.' And Zacharias said to the angel, 'How shall I know this? For I am old, and my wife is well advanced in years.' And the angel answered and said to him, 'I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time.'" Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the prophecy that was fulfilled on that day, and we just thank you for the blessings. Lord, may we never forget your sovereignty. But Lord, today as we read your word, as we study your word, as we open it, we pray your spirit would move among us. You would teach us and guide us what it is we need to hear today. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all you do. Lord, move among us. In your name we pray. Amen. This morning I want to look at a couple people, and of course they're going to be Zechariah and John. The main two people in this, which John is actually not in this passage, but he's talked about. And so I want to look at this. But first I want to look at Zechariah. It's one of those things where God uses people, and Zechariah is this priest, and he's going about his time. It came as a lot was cast that he would go in and he would burn the incense. And so He is a very religious man. It tells us him and his wife are righteous before God. So he is a member of the priesthood. He is doing his job. He is there. And I got to thinking as I'm studying this week, you know, he probably knew that passage from Isaiah. He probably knew that prophecy that one day there would come somebody and they would go before the Lord and they would be that voice of one calling out in the wilderness. But I bet he probably never thought that would be his son. And so here, this righteous man with his wife, blameless, it tells us, before God. It also tells us that Zechariah was a praying man. It tells us that Gabriel says, your prayers have been heard. There are a lot of religious people that just don't pray. He wasn't one of those. But there are a lot of people that just don't pray. And he's one that prayed. Him and his wife obviously prayed for children. Prayed for a son, probably. And when Gabriel comes, Gabriel says, your prayers have been heard. So here we have a righteous man whose prayers have been heard. And where is he? He is in the middle of serving God. That was what he was called to do. He was called to serve God. And so not only was he a man of faith, not only was he a praying man, but he was also a man that was serving his God. Those are three very important things. But I love God's sense of humor. Maybe it's just me, but he says to him over here, how can this be? How shall I know this? So it tells me, one, that Zechariah, even though he was a righteous man, even though he was a praying man, even though he was a serving man, he was not a perfect man. Because you have Gabriel, the angel, come and you're in the middle of burning incense to God, and an angel shows up and stands at the right hand of the incense table and he begins to speak to you. Whatever he would tell you, I think you would probably believe. I would hope so. But when he tells him all these things that are going to happen, he says, how can this be? For I am an old man, and I love this. My wife is well along in years. He didn't say, I'm an old man and my wife's an old lady. Because that would have been put in Scripture, and that probably wouldn't have went very well for his wife when he went back home. So it tells me that he was a very smart man as well. But I love God's sense of humor when he says, I'm an old man, and my wife, she's well along in years. So we've got this man who's not perfect. He's doubting what the angel tells him. And God still uses him anyway. I think if we would come together and we'd agree that none of us are Zechariah. But we understand also what God is looking for. For 400 years plus, he's been silent. And he comes and he speaks to this person. And he's going to fulfill his prophecy through this man who is righteous. God desires us to be righteous. God desires us to be in right standing with Him. The only way that can happen is through the blood of Jesus. Now, I can be religious, but that's not righteous. I can be faithful at going to church, but that's not righteous. Righteousness is right standing with God. And the only way I can have that, or you can have that, is by having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because when I have faith in Jesus, by grace, I'm saved through that faith. And that gift of God is righteousness. God sees me as righteous. It says here that God saw Zechariah as righteous. God wants to see us as righteous, but the only way that's ever going to happen is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Man, for a lot of years I went by trying to be religious. I came in the doors every time they were open. I did all the things. I memorized the verses. I sang the songs. I did all the religious things. But God says that's not enough. I want you to be righteous. And there are people out there that try to be righteous on their own. They try to get in right standing with God through something that they're doing. That is not a possibility. The only way to have that righteousness is through Jesus. Believing what He's done. Believing who He is. He desires to use righteous people. And He desires to use a praying people. There are so many times that people, the fullness of their prayer is what they want. But our prayer should be bringing us into the presence of God. And then whatever takes place, takes place. I shouldn't just come to God asking Him to do this or do that. I should come to God to be in His presence. And when I pray, I'm acknowledging I'm at the feet of Jesus. And that whatever takes place, whatever flows out of my heart, that is prayer. Other people think that they don't, I don't know how to pray. I can't pray in public. Man, that's one of the things as a pastor. When you call on somebody to pray from up here, you can see different shades of blue in their face so fast. Either that or when you get to that point at the end of the service and you know that you're going to pray and everybody else that knows out there you're going to call on somebody, immediately you see the top of everybody's head. And it's not that we can't pray, it's just that we're uncomfortable praying. I don't want to pray out loud. Well, understand that you're not praying to me. You're not praying to the person beside you. You're praying to the God of this universe. And He already knows what's in your heart anyway. When you're praying to Him, you can't pray wrong. When you're praying to Him, you can't pray wrong. God wants to use people that are in communion with Him, that are talking to Him on a regular basis. Zechariah and his wife obviously were. It says He heard their prayers. He promises to hear our prayers as well. It's getting a little pointed here. Zechariah was serving. Well, I can have a relationship with Jesus, and so therefore I have righteousness through the blood of Jesus, and I can and be a praying person, but don't ask me to serve. Man, we have a committee every year that goes around and tries to find Sunday school teachers and fill different positions in the church. Man, when people see them coming, it's like they're headed different directions. Because, man, I just don't know that I can serve in that capacity. I'm not calling you to serve in a certain capacity. I'm calling you to serve Him. That's what He desires. If you love Him, you will serve Him. You need to be active in serving Him. And that's not in a, don't get me wrong, that's not in a church. Not necessarily in a church. That's serving Him and what He, when you get up of a morning and He tells you to do something and you go do it. That's serving Him. It's not clocking in at a certain time, or it's not making sure you go do this or do that or be there to teach the Sunday school class or play an instrument. That's serving too, but He wants you to serve from your heart every single day. If it flows out in one of those other ways, that is great. But Zechariah didn't just serve in the temple at the time to burn incense. He served all the time. That was his lifestyle. But he wasn't perfect. So many times people say, well, you know, I can't serve, or I don't really feel comfortable praying out loud, and you know, or maybe they don't even know that they have a relationship with God. They don't feel like they have that relationship with Him, that righteousness. As holy as it would seem like to us that Zechariah was, you know, he's righteous, he's blameless, he's praying, he's serving, he was broken. Because he wouldn't even believe the angel Gabriel that come and said these things. And if that's not broken, we have a confused understanding of what broken means. Sometimes we want to think, oh, well, it's something really, really bad. No, it's any time we fall short of what God desires us to be, we are considered broken. I don't care how many years you've been saved, you're still broken. It's just there's a God that's trying to patch you up. He's trying to put you back together. That's the difference. So Zechariah, here he is. He's not perfect, but he's willing to serve. He's praying. He's a righteous man before God. And God uses him to say, your son is going to fulfill this prophecy. Wow, my son's going to be important. My son is going to fulfill the prophecy of the voice of one calling in the wilderness. He's going to go out there and he's going to... Why are you telling me? Because you're responsible for your son. You're responsible for the people around you. You're responsible to show them as he grows up or as they're around you that you are this righteous person, that you are this praying person, you are this serving person. And if you live that way, your son is going to grow and you'll be able to share with him this prophecy that he is being fulfilled. The Holy Spirit will be in him. But Zechariah, you've got to know that this comes on you. Because it tells us your son's not going to he's not going to drink any wine or strong drink. So that's the responsibility of the father in here. If he's going to be this raising his child this way, it tells us your child is going to be this way and he's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is what he's going to do. You've got to train your child up, Zechariah. You've got to teach the people that are around you. It's one thing for me to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's one thing for me to be praying and to serve. But if I do it all in an office downstairs, it really doesn't do a whole lot of good. You and I have to do those things out around the people that we live by because otherwise they are not going to see it. They are never going to know that it's real. It's just a book. Now I want to look at John. And of course, like I said, it doesn't really tell us, John's not really in this passage, but it tells us about him. It tells us what he's going to be like. And so as we look at John and what he's going to eventually do, think about the handiwork of God. 400 years before, he knew exactly what was going to take place. He knew exactly who was going to be that voice. He's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Man, tells us he's going to go out before him, before the Lord, in the spirit and the power of Elijah. Think about Elijah for just a second. Elijah was that prophet that when he prayed, it quit raining. He hears a still small voice from God. All the things that Elijah did, he was taken to heaven in a whirlwind. All of those things that he did by the power of God. The same Holy Spirit that indwells every single Christian. He had that power. And here we're told that John is going to go out and he's going to go before the Lord and he's going to have the power of the Holy Spirit. I wonder how many times as Christians in a day that we actually think, did you know the Holy Spirit dwells in me? Do you think about that very often? The same Spirit, the Spirit of God, that powered Elijah, that John went out to be a forerunner of Christ, that is the same Holy Spirit that lives in you. But it's so easy to quench that spirit. It's so easy to control that spirit and not allow it to do the things that He calls us to do. So as we look at John, yeah, I know we're not going to be the fulfillment of Isaiah 40, chapter 40, verse 3. We're not going to be the fulfillment of that passage. I'm not saying we are. But I want you to look at what God does through John, because I think He wants to do that same thing through you today. He wants to give you that power. That power that John went out and he boldly told the spiritual leaders, "You're a brood of vipers." And sometimes it's hard for you and me just to go up and tell somebody, "Hey, Jesus loves you." We're not bold enough to do that. But that power will give you boldness. Then God gave John a message. We know that it tells us that He says that message is to go and preach repentance, that the kingdom of heaven is near. That message of repentance is the same message you and I need to preach today. I may preach it from up here, but we need to all talk about it to people out there. Why did John need to come at this time to preach a message of repentance? Because people were not living the way they were supposed to. There was sin in their lives, and they needed to repent. And so God sends that one to prepare the way ahead of Jesus with the power of God to preach repentance. It's so much easier just to preach love. And we should. Don't get me wrong, we should. But so many people today say, "Well, if you're preaching repentance, you're being God because you're telling people what sin is." No, I'm not. I'm reading a book. We need to understand that repentance still needs to take place. And our society doesn't want to hear about repentance, because when somebody tells me to repent, they're telling me I'm wrong. And you can't tell people they're wrong in our society today. And if you can't tell them that they're wrong, then you can't tell them that they need to repent. If you can't tell them that they need to turn from their sin, Luke 13:3 says, "Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." We have to tell people that they need to repent. I need to repent. And when somebody sees that in my life, I hope they tell me. Because when we're wrong, we're wrong. I've got a rock up here that I've had up here for 2 years probably. Debbie, what is this? What is this? It's a rock. You can't make another name for it. It's a rock. Why do we try to make a different name for sin? Call it what it is. If it's a rock, call it a rock. If it's sin, call it sin. Don't look to me to tell you what sin is. It's in here. Go to God and find out what's wrong. And if you love people and you know they're wrong, tell them. Don't, "Hey, you're going to die and go to hell unless you change." No, that's not what I'm talking about. But if you love them, share with them what the Bible says. If we don't, then we don't love them. It's the same message that John preached. It's the same message that Jesus preached. Repent. Because if you have unconfessed sin in your life that you're not willing to repent, then your relationship with Jesus is not going to be what it's supposed to be. When he preached that, it says what happened, and I love this. It says, "He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord." Now, the children of Israel already knew the law. Most of them tried to follow the law to get righteousness. Here he's telling them that that's not going to happen. And when you preach repentance, when you come in the power of the Spirit and you preach repentance, many of the children of Israel are going to turn to the Lord. If they're turning to the Lord, then where were they before? They were going away from the Lord. See, that's the thing we don't want to think about. He says here, going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Then that means the hearts of the fathers weren't turned towards the children before. If you need to repent and turn towards your children, then you probably weren't facing your children in the first place. It says it's going to turn the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. Those that know they're disobedient will be turned to what they know is just. This is what John was supposed to do. That was his message. We know God gave him a power. We know God gave him a message. Let's look at his ministry. You'll turn the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Well, now we know John was preparing people for Jesus, the Messiah, to come into the world. He was preparing them for that. Well, obviously, that's not my job to prepare for Jesus' birth, but my Jesus is coming again. And that is my job, and that is your job, to prepare people, to make ready people for the coming of the Lord. That's our ministry, is to try to make ready people for the coming of the Lord. Because people, He's coming whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not. I'm not going to tell you when. I'm not going to tell you what's coming really quick. I'm just telling you it's coming, and we need to make people ready. The way we make people ready is we have that message. We deliver it with that power that He gives us. And I love this last part. I'm going to turn over to the last chapter, or the last part of chapter 1. If you want to turn there, it's in verse 77. I'll back up to 76. This is Zechariah's prophecy. He says, "You, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare His ways." Get this. "To give knowledge of salvation to His people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the dayspring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace." Your ministry is to give and to guide. That's what Zechariah was telling his son. "You, child, this is your ministry. To give knowledge of salvation, to give light to those in darkness, and to guide our feet in the way of peace." The only way to have peace is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. I can tell you about salvation, I can tell you about the light that shatters all darkness, but to guide you in the way of peace is to share with you the only way peace can come, and that's through a relationship, an ongoing relationship with Jesus Christ. Because He says, "I give you a peace, not like this world gives you, but a peace that's going to last." Our power, our message, and our ministry is the same as that of John the Baptist. We need to live righteous, we need to pray, and we need to serve. But when it comes down to it, it's all in His power. We're getting ready to go into, and some may have went into the Christmas season clear back in November, but we're going into the Christmas season, and as we look at this, allow the power to give you the message to enhance your ministry. And I want to ask you some questions. Because His power to change lives is still there. The need for repentance is still there. The need to prepare the people for the coming of the Lord is ever present. Ask you these questions. Are you praying? Are you serving? Are you living with boldness? Are you sharing a message? And are you ready for Him to come back yourself? Because wherever you are, if you've already accepted Christ, then these ministries, these lifestyles are the lifestyles that you and I should be living. And yeah, we're not a priest from New Testament times, and we are not the forerunner for Jesus Christ. But we are to be serving our God, loving Him, sharing a message that will turn people's hearts towards Him, that they would be prepared when He breaks that eastern sky. That's our job. And we do it because we love. Not because we have to, but because we love Him and we love them. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for all that You do. Lord, we thank You for the passage this morning. Lord, I pray that conviction can only come from You, that it's never anything I say, but it comes from You and You alone. Pray for encouragement. I pray for understanding. Pray for clarity in all that we do. May You move among us, Lord, at this time. In Your name we pray. Amen.